My name is Jerry, and this is the Wild Eye Podcast. The Masai Mara Photo Safari. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Friday. Now, if you've been following us for any amount of time, you would know that one of our, I almost want to call it the premium photo safari we have, not from a necessary luxury point of view, but from an experience point of view, would be our product up in Kenya, the Masai Mara Photo Safari. Now, in the past, you would have seen we broke them in two. We had the Great Migration Safari, and then we had the Masai Mara Safari. And it got a little bit confusing, not just for kind of clients looking to book, because what should I do? But even for us, it's like, okay, but the migration could be there this time or that time. So we've made a lot of changes. So in this episode, I sit down with Luke, and we discuss the changes to the Photo Safari offering, how we've combined those two products, but also then more a little bit about our new Nkashui camp in the Masai Mara. So we will dig more into this in the future. If you have any questions you want to visit, please let us know. Otherwise, I hope you guys enjoy this one. All right, Luke, we haven't sat down for quite a while, but I think there's some interesting conversations to be had, because over the last year, maybe more, the evolution of the Wild Eye Camp and our Great Migration and Masai Mara Photo Safari has been very interesting. So the biggest change here, I think there's two things. There's the combination of the two trips, and then there's the new Nkashui camp. Now, you've been intimately involved with the narrative and building the website and the marketing. So off the bat, help people understand, what is the change?
Well, yeah, I think it's, you know, it's such an important photo safari for us. It's our flagship safari. We've always hosted it. I think since the beginning, I remember you, yourself and Jono and Andrew just telling us all incredible stories of your first Mara encounter. You know, visiting the Masai Mara, and of course, we're all from South Africa. We all worked in the safari industry for a long time. And the South African bush, or the Southern African bush, compared to the East African bush, is just a very, if you can call it bush.
Yeah, surely, yeah, whatever.
is just so vastly different. And I think for the three of you, when you first went there, it was just an absolute blowing up the minds. You know? And slowly but surely, all the different Wild Eye guides that have started with Wild Eye, I've obviously had this opportunity to head up there as a photo guide and to guide people and to see it firsthand. And it's, I think all of us, is really, really special. So of course, you know, obviously Nkashui has gone through a lot of changes over the last year or so, and that's evolved too. And that sort of spurred us on to evolve our Masai Mara Photo Safari. So for those of you that have traveled with us before, if you go to our website now, you'll notice that we no longer have the differentiation between the Great Migration and the Mara Experience Photo Safaris. For those of you that are new to us, it's just a really kick-ass photo safari, you know. But yeah, so essentially what we've done is we've narrowed down the amount of weeks that we offer every year, focusing really on what we've come to realize are the best weeks to be there, not only from a migrational point of view, but from just, this is the Mara. And I think too many people put too much emphasis on the Great Migration. I mean, we've all seen the social media. We've all seen things over the last 12, 18 months as to how bad things can be. And we often forget how wonderful things can be.
Yeah.
And for the most part are.
Mm.
So while we definitely go there for Great Migration, we want to see it. We're your guides. We also want to see it. We also want to photograph. We want you to get those killer shots and those killer moments, whether you're going there for photography or just to experience it.
Okay.
But there's just so much more.
Sure.
And it's an incredible thing. And, you know, aside from seeing things jumping into a river, it's just really cool to see them out on the plains, to be surrounded by, you know, let's call it a million animals, which does happen on a fairly consistent basis throughout certain months of the season. Although that's out for debate as well. How many animals are actually migrating? You know, how do we count them? How long is it per street?
Yeah.
Some estimates are 1.8 million. The latest estimate was only 800,000.
Oh, really?
Or even lower, I think. So yeah, we'll have to.
Is that recent?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's pretty tricky, I think. And, you know, a lot of people have this, they envision this idea that when you go see the Great Migration, it's literally a million wildebeest all walking in a line or in a group, and now they're feeding, and then they cross the river.
Yes.
And it goes on for 10 days where they just cross over and back and forth. And it's really not the case.
Yeah.
If you've never experienced it before, you have to see it for yourself. But, for those that haven't, it's kind of batches of wildebeest, batches of this one big herd or one big group of animals that moves throughout the Mara Serengeti ecosystem. You might have 10,000 here, 2,000 there, 20 here. Wi-Fi himself over there who's lost and bleating.
It happens.
Just get chowed by a lion. It does happen. Or getting chowed by anything. So, yeah, that's sort of how it works. You know, you might have a wildebeest crossing here. You might have a wildebeest crossing there. But it's not just like two, 3 months.
Yeah.
Animals crossing a river.
Yeah.
So anyway, back onto the safari as it is. I think one of the biggest changes we made, Jerry, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this because the main reason that we came up with it is because of our guides and because of our legacy guests as well, that bring feedback and so forth, is decreasing our photo safaris from 12 guests out to 6.
Yeah.
You know, while though we offer staff for like this super exclusive photo safari thing, we like to offer a premium product, maybe not ultra luxurious because, you know, you really need to sleep in a Texan king size.
Yeah, 4,000 Egyptian.
Don't get me wrong, that's super nice too.
It happens.
4,000. Wow, man. You know, anyway. Those lodges are super, super nice. But what we really wanted to focus on was getting it down to a really exclusive, awesome, neat little or tight bunch of people along with a photo guide. And so we've gone down from 12 guests to 6, along with one photo safari, or one photo guide. So there'd just be two photo guides and 12 guests. It's now 6 and 1, spread across 2 vehicles.
So still 3 and 1.
So three per vehicle.
Yeah.
And your photo guide, of course, swaps every single drive. So every second drive, you have your photo guide with you.
Yes.
And in between those drives, you have your photo guide helping you edit, talking nonsense, drinking gin and tonics, around the fire, you know. Well, those sort of things that we do encourage sitting around the fire, folks. For those of you that have traveled with us before, you'll know Dixon, very adamant that you sit around that fire.
Yes.
And myself and Jerry are too. I mean, I hosted with you a couple of times.
100%.
And, I think one of the biggest frustrations we have is when people come on a photo safari. They almost treat it like work.
Yeah.
In fact, not almost, they do. And it's like they're so worried about getting the shot, they miss the experience.
Yeah.
And that's a topic that me and you talk about a lot. I know you bring it up to your podcast a lot. Anyway.
I think is that the desired outcome for people when they come on a photo safari is often they need the images and because it's driving force. And what happens, I think, in a bigger group of 12 and 2, because there's so many energies, it raises this intensity in the media tent. It's like, who's that? What did you get? How's this? And what did Luke say? What did Jeremy say? What did Johan say? And it becomes this thing. And I think the overall experience of 6 and 1, it's almost like the intensity gets dialed down and the experience goes up.
Yeah.
And even if it's, the ratio is the same, 12-2 versus 6-1, but still the energy is down. So you're getting more quality time, you're slower. And then also to manage that in a smaller group, it's easier to go and sit at the fire with 2 people. And there's only 2 people here and there versus you're the only 2 people sitting at the fire and there's like 10 in there. What am I missing? So I do think that drop is phenomenal. As a guide, I mean, I'm sure you'll echo this. I look forward to that because it's easier to manage.
Yeah.
You get to know people more. You have more intimate conversations. It's great.
I mean, a couple of years ago, we decided to make the Masai Mara. So before we combine these, two different Great Migration Masai Mara safaris into one, we used to just do, on the Masai Mara photo safari outside of migration period. We would have 12 guests with one photo.
Yes.
That's at least how it was the first 2-3 years when I was with Wild Eye. And for those of you that are our guests and not photo guides, it's wild. While trying to control, or not control, that's the wrong word, but trying to ensure that you're offering credible service to 12 people all by yourself.
It's hard.
It was hectic. So I know for you, for me, for a lot of us that now host or over the last year or so, we've had those Mara photo safaris go down to 6 and 1. It's very a breath of fresh air. And so it makes those weeks very, very enjoyable. And you can really dedicate a lot of time to each.
Big deal. Hey, it really is a big deal.
Yeah, it really is.
I think the idea as well for people who haven't been, the migration is always this thing. People want to see the migration. And yes, like you said, it's amazing. It's great. But if I compare it to, I'm going to try and stretch this. If you try and compare it to something like the Great Bear Rainforest, where you go for the spirit bear. Right? It's a one-trick pony, man. If you don't get that thing, and I've had one trip where we didn't see a spirit bear, it was not great, different discussion. Yeah. But then the rest of it's okay, but you miss the hero. Yeah, yeah. In this instance, even if you go during migration time and you don't see a crossing, the intensity and the diversity and the quality, quantity of cats, landscapes, sunsets, sunrises, it still produces. And I think by going in with that kind of expectation for someone new, in or out of migration, you will have a good time. And I remember the first time we ever went, and you mentioned it was like the wow factor, is when we got there 2012, 13 for the first time,
the wildlife blew us away. And we all came from the safari industry, so we were kind of used to lions and leopards. This is cool.
Well, but it's just easy, right? Sure. All you do is pull out a pair of binoculars, look over the plain.
There will be something there. And then you drive around and you see like more than 20 zebra. I mean, I've tracked zebra in the Sabi Sands because we couldn't find one, right? So you drive around and the intensity was so much. But what we then thought after the first 3 days, we got together and said, listen, the wildlife and nature is perfect. It's insane.
Yeah.
But the camp we stayed at then, they don't exist anymore, which kind of be expected based on what we had. It was a guy who tried to run his own camp, didn't work. What we thought is let's bring a South African hospitality element and the attention to detail.
And exclusivity.
Exclusivity. Let's bring that from our point of view and combine that with the amazing wildlife and the photographic side of it. And that's then where the evolution of the camp has been very interesting. You've been heavily involved in that side of things.
Well, I mean, that's a good point that you bring it up. I think when people travel throughout East Africa, and it's not to talk badly about East Africa, from generally speaking, you're dealing with lodges that are sizable. You know, even the luxury lodges, which you expect you to only be like 10 rooms. No, they're like 20, 30 rooms, you know, and you don't realize how big some of these camps get, how many people are there. And, you know, for Inkashui, obviously, we only have 6 people on our photo safaris. There might be other people in the camp on the other side, or, you know, we'll explain a bit more about that now, but it really only hosts 20 people across 10 tents. 10 tents for a camp, which is, it's incredible. So you guys definitely had the right idea when you came in, and I think it produces a product that's an experience.
Yeah.
It's just incredible to be there. I mean, it's you can go from the crazy busyness of the Morro, saying a wonderful place like Serena or maybe even Angon Morro, which is a big camp.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's a lot more rooms.
It is.
And sort of all of a sudden you had Inkashui, which is not luxurious. It's wonderful and comfortable. The new tents and everything's great. But you're so immersed.
Yeah.
And you're so in the middle of nowhere and there's no one around you and there's not back of house vehicles starting all the time and staff everywhere. You know, I mean, a lot of these big camps are relying on 2 to 3 staff members per guest.
Yeah.
So people didn't realize how much this for industry moves. But yeah, so I love that you guys brought that South African element, or that Southern African element, which, of course, which often is more focused on immersion and exclusivity. Yeah.
We had a couple of years ago, so at the end of each week, I mean, you'll know. So on the last night, the staff did like a thing for the people. And then we normally say a few thanks just from our side as the host. And I remember not last year, the year before. Well, now it's 3 years ago because it's now January. It's all strange. But I mentioned because there was, at the time, there was crazy amount of vehicles. It was one of those years where it was just crazy. And I mentioned to the people, you know what I was proud of that the Wild Eye East Africa team did is, and I can't remember who I was hosting with, but in the vehicles, people would be like, oh no, that guy's parking there. Like, no, forget about it. Just here, have a bag of nuts, chat to Sammy, and just focus through your camera. So we were able to create in the field, that bubble, that Wild Eye bubble where people have this amazing experience, it's fun, it's joking, there's some education, there's some nice chats, whatever the case is. And then when those bubbles then leave the river and the 4 vehicles / bubbles get back, you step into this world which you feel you're the only people in Africa. And that idea of being able to create that space where you don't have to come back for dinner and go into a dining hall where there's 100 literally other people. So that, I think, the Inkashui change of the slightly larger tents and all those things, but that bubble we've created both in the vehicles because of how we do what we do and in the camp is just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, folks, make no mistake, the Morro does get busy.
It does.
People want to see the migration. People want to see everything. You know, even South Africa, people want to go to Mala Mala.
It's actually
these places, people want to see the leopards, just like they want to see the migration.
Yeah.
But don't let that detract,
no,
you know, from the experience. Well, you know, don't let that hinder you from going on an experience like this.
Yeah.
It's almost like you forget about it as soon as you're in these, you know. It's so wonderful. The noise of humanity is completely blurred out by the magic of nature.
Yes. That should be a t-shirt. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, maybe we should. But why don't we chat about some of the changes that Inkashui has gone through, because that's obviously been a big project for all of us.
It's massive.
And it's great to be able to share it with people that are thinking about joining us on a Maasai Mara safari. Guys, our new tents, or the new tents at Inkashui, are killer. They really are cool. I think they're 28 square meters now with an ensuite bathroom, big king-size beds, which can be split into twins. You know, for people that have been with us before, we used to make use of, you know, we were all about the photography and we still are. We were all about the photography and, like, you know, dome tents, and it was super immersive. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, things had to give. We've got competitors. We've got to make sure that we're staying, or that the camp's staying beautiful and comfortable. And I think we produced something really, really cool.
As it's sorry, Luke, I'm looking at the website. You made some of these images of the new tents.
Where's your website?
I'm looking at the Wild Eye website at the bottom of the Masai Mara Photo Safari page, where you'll be staying.
Yeah.
And as it is, am I correct in saying you're the only person in the Wild Eye folds from South Africa that's actually seen these? Because you went up to document this.
Yeah.
But I do think someone like Engen, if you are listening, hello, Engen.
Engen's booked.
Engen's booked. And he's been coming to the camp since 2016.
Yeah.
And he said to us all the time, no, it's great, it's great. Yeah. I like the small. And then suddenly you say to him, yeah, but what about this? Like, ooh, I think I like that.
Yeah.
So I do think that the change, looking at these images, if you showed me this 4, 5, 12 years ago, I'd say, you're joking. Yeah. This is not possible.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, the whole team, these visuals you created are absolutely stunning.
Yeah, this is fine.
And I think people are going to be more than pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, look, we all want to go on safari. Mm. We all say that we're willing to sleep on the ground to see leopards.
No, I like a little bit of comfort.
Especially if you're paying, but I mean, these days safari is not cheap. You're looking at $1,000 per person per night to be on safari. Like, that does include everything.
Like, sure.
I don't realize it includes all your meals, your drinks and your safaris, but it is a chunk of change, no matter who you are. And so we owe it to you to give you a great in-camp experience. We know that we can give you a great in-field experience. We know that our scarf are amazing. We know Dixon's incredible. We know our guards are incredible. We know that Tinker makes the best gin and tonics in the Mara.
He's not good, yeah.
At the end of the day, when you go back to your tent, it's nice for people to have that by fire. It's nice to have, privacy and comfort and a nice lounge in your own tent to read a book or, whatever it might be.
So from your point of view, I mean, you've run for a couple of years. You've seen the small tents needed. If you had to explain to an old guest, what are the top 5 things that have changed from a tent point of view, or camp point of view?
Yeah, wonderful. And look, our bucket showers, they still are bucket showers, folks. You still are in that immersion. We don't have running water. We still are an eco camp. We run on solar and generator to top it all off. So we still use the bucket showers, which give you about 3 minutes, 4 minutes of just continuously streaming water. Those bucket showers still exist, but now they're inside your tent. You know, beforehand, we used to have the dome tent, and then you would walk probably 3-4 meters out of your tent and into your private cubicle for your shower. It was your shower. No one else would share it with you.
Yeah.
Wish you wanted it too, but that was it.
Yeah.
Now you have everything enclosed in your own tent, which is just, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Including a flushing toilets. That is the worth of all plumbing that we've done. Every evening we now will provide you, and every morning we provide you with cold and hot water for your basin. There's no running water, folks. We create a basin, that beautiful vanities, but you will mix up your own water as you need, wash your hands as you need. Another cool thing is every morning we're going to be bringing coffee trays or coffee tins to your tent.
That's the win. For me, that's the win.
Absolutely.
That's golden.
Being a private guard and having stayed in many camps now where they bring you that coffee in the morning and they just get a knock on the door or hello and then coffee, it's magic.
So nice.
Magic. Yeah, a couple of cookies, coffee. Yeah, have some time for you.
Awesome.
And then, of course, for those that I know, a lot of people are going, no, but where's our social? Where's that? You can still go down to the fire. We still go out here at the same time, about 6:30, 6:20, 6:30. Come down to the fire, talk some nonsense, have another cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And there we get going. That social element's still there.
Nice.
Another big thing is just obviously the footprint of the tent.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's internal. Once you're in the tent, there's no further zip to open or close from.
Yeah, yeah.
Your bathroom is part of the same. Everything's en suite. Your wardrobe's inside.
Uh-huh.
So forth. The hippos will still be munching right next to your heads. For those of you that haven't been there before, don't worry. There is a very thin piece of canvas between you and the hippo.
But we haven't lost too many guests over the years, so it's zero.
It still is that same immersion, just with a bit more comfort.
Yeah.
But not over the top, folks. We're not a luxury. It's not a luxury camp. It's still, our 3 key words. It's exclusive, immersive, and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we try to go for from the top down.
I think the idea of luxury, and for people, I'm not talking to guests who've traveled with us, they know what we do.
Yeah.
But if you look at new people exploring, I want to go to Africa, I want a luxury lodge, I don't want to stay in a tent.
Yeah, they don't quite realize the difference.
Because there's luxury as far as the 4,000 Egyptian thread, and there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also comfortable, but it's a luxury experience.
Yeah.
That to me is a big differentiator, because all the staff that make it magical, I mean, you and me, of course, but Dixon and Tenka and Mary, they're all still there.
Yeah.
The luxury experience, but you're not going to want for anything. I mean, and you get coffee in the morning. What more do you want?
And it's fully inclusive. Everything. Once you arrive at camp with Wild Eye on our photo, Masai Mara, the safari, it's a fully inclusive experience. You won't have to pay for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until you leave that camp and you're back in Nairobi, maybe you have to pay for a beer there. But in camp, your beers are all this. Everything's, you know, food, all of that's there. There's a curio shop, of course, which you could you can decide to purchase if you like. Then twisting of the arm there. But yeah, I think, look, the whole team, the whole guiding team, all of us here at Bard are super excited to be hosting newly sort of developed Maasai Mara Photo Safari. We're very happy that we've now combined the two different products into one. I think it removes a lot of pressure, not from us, but from guests who are, I booked a Great Migration spot. Where is the Great Migration?
Yeah.
So what we will tell you is the Great Migration is amazing. Don't focus entirely on that. But if you really want to see the Great Migration, the best time of year to be there is probably from mid-July to mid-August to see crossings and so forth. Now, that could even flow, folks. There's absolutely no guarantee we can give you. And I know a lot of people want us to give you guarantees, but we can't.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, even outside of that sort of half of August going later into the year, you will still see thousands and thousands of wildebeest.
The skits of the place is mad.
But that's what I was saying at the beginning of this. It's not just about the crossing.
Yeah.
And I think all of us involved in the Great Migration and that have posted safaris there for the last decade, we're all responsible for putting out this marketing that just completely cauterizes the crossings. And I think it's a lot of the responsibility falls on our shoulders to take ownership of people just coming there for the crossings and being quite heartbroken if they don't get it. That being said, most people I meet aren't really heartbroken if they don't see it. Maybe a little bit heartbroken, but not angry and not frustrated.
It's not like you're leaving with nothing.
Yeah.
I just
saw the Mara.
Yeah.
Probably still saw a dozen to two dozen lions every single day.
Easy.
And probably leopard, cheetah, and elephants.
I think even if you're looking at, I mean, use Engen because we both know him very well.
Yeah.
But someone like Engen, he is, I remember the first couple of years, 2016, 17, when he came out, there were days where we would leave at 6 in the morning and we'd come back at 7 in the evening. Yeah. Every day of the week to wait for crossings. Yeah, right. And Engen was like a kid in a candy store. He couldn't get enough. More crossings. And I can think of a couple of guests who are like that. I need more crossings. But as they keep coming back, they're like, okay. Yeah. So that even though it is this big thing, they started realizing, okay, let's take the big shiny thing away. Look what else there is.
Yeah.
And people start recognizing it. And I think the idea of branding it Maasai Mara, it's about the best of it. It's the same as going to South Luangwa in midsummer, midwinter, emerald season versus dry season.
Yeah, it's magical.
It's both magical. It just depends on what you get. So, yeah, I think you're right. We were responsible because it makes some great visuals. If you get the crossings, it's awesome, but it's 1,000,000% not the only thing.
Yeah, certainly isn't.
No.
I mean, it's drinks under the tree, it's talking nonsense, it's watering the flowers, as people say, from the middle of nowhere. It's doing the hot air balloon. It's all of those sort of things. So it really is cool.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. So, folks, I think head on, you know, we can talk about this all day, I suppose, but you know, I think we've shared quite a bit. Do you have any other questions for me?
I think down the line, it might be, I mean, it's crazy now. It's beginning of the year. I know you're busy with websites and it's we're all just settling in. But I think down the line is to talk in detail about the camp.
Absolutely.
And we can go deep dive what it is, why it is, why the evolution, but we'll get down to that. Where can people find out about this? Online, social, website, where do they go?
So obviously you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, just WildEye, or at WildEye SA on both. And if you're looking for us, it's wild-eye.com.
Yep.
And then just go to the photographic safaris in the top and you go down to Maasai Mara Photo Safari and you'll find it there and all the availability.
Yep.
I'm looking at the availability right now. This year's booking out quick.
Yeah.
There's a few spaces left for this year, so please head on over and then 2027. Obviously the dates are up for 27 as well, and that's got a lot more
sweet
availability. Otherwise, if you want, go check out Inkashui, inkashuisafaricamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
Inkashui is a crazy word to spell, but let's try.
I'll put all of the detail in the caption as well. So
yeah, Inkashui, safaricamp.com. Head over there, you'll check some cool updates and upgrades and just beautiful websites. And then, of course, you're always welcome to reach out. Get in touch. Let's get you out on safari. You are missing incredible things.
Yeah.
And we would love to show it to you.
One last question. Someone's listening to this in the car and they think, but I'm not a photographer. Shall I go to Inkashui?
Absolutely.
Can they still do that?
Yeah. So that's a good question, actually. So Inkashui facilitates WildEye Photo Safaris, Maasai Mara Photo Safari, and other companies' photo safaris,
for sure.
But with our Maasai Mara Photo Safari, we only host 6 people on that safari. That means that we still have another 4 tents available at Inkashui. And that whole side of, you know, Inkashui splits into two. There's Little Inkashui and Inkashui Main. So if you want to book Little Inkashui, you can. And that will put you into your own bubble,
your own safari bubbles. You do not have to be a photographer to enjoy Inkashui. It's a completely standard safari camp. So it's a lodge that you can put per nights for as long as you like.
Yeah.
Some cool specials to take advantage of.
That's awesome.
You have the choice. Either you join a wildlife photo safari or you just book Inkashui as you or your family or your partner and go and have a hell of a time.
Love it. I think in that last little bit there, you share a lot of info. It's us and other people using it to stand alone and that. So I think there might be questions, and that's a good thing. Let people get in touch. And then what we'll do is if you have any questions, drop it through to info@wildeye.com. We can help. You can get hold of Luke or myself. And then based on some of the questions, I think we can build a nice future podcast and blog on exactly what the Q&A kind of vibe like that. We can maybe even run a Q&A for Inkashui. So, Luke, awesome. The stuff you've made is amazing. Thank you very much. Cool. Looks great. And, we look forward to hosting you guys at the new camp.
Yeah. See you guys out there on the plains, folks.
Thank you for listening. Bye for now.
Cheers.